just in case.
You don't know how to use that other word.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, cool. If you turn to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. If you remember last time I preached the evening service, I was saying nice stuff about the praise band, and Ron gave me a few extra dollars. But after what he said about the Cowboys this morning, I can't say anything now. So, Philippians chapter 4. And once you get there, we'll start in verse 1. What I want to talk to you about tonight is more so Sunday school style than preaching. So if you'll just bear with me. So Philippians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So there's a lot of different topics that we could talk about out of that passage of scripture right there. But I want to focus on is verses 11 and 12. I'll read those again. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So the Apostle Paul right there is basically talking to us about contentment. And being content is something that each and every one of us will have to learn during our lives. And being content is something that is a pivotal role in our lives, okay? People that are not content are honestly never happy. People that are never content are never truly satisfied. And contentment is something that you and I, we both need if we're ever going to be happy in our Christian life, or in our life in general. And the Bible teaches a lot about contentment, okay? We look at the Apostle Paul's life. The Apostle Paul did not have an easy life. If you've read his story, I'm sure all of you know it. He's gone through lots of things. He's gone through beatings. He's gone through prison. He's gone through so many different things. Before that, he persecuted Christians. After that, he was persecuted by other people. And the Apostle Paul lived a very, very, very rough life. The Bible talks about that he had a thorn in the flesh that he couldn't get over. The Bible doesn't say what it was, but it was something that God let him suffer with throughout his life. The Apostle Paul, I don't know if he was ever married or not. The Bible hints that he was not married. Some people say he was, some people say he isn't. I'm not going to argue with that. But if the Apostle Paul wasn't married, that was something else he had to be content with, okay? The Apostle Paul, out of all the people in the Bible, he knew how to be content. He knew how to be happy with whatever state he was in during his life, during that time. You look at the Apostle Paul, it talks about him and Silas whenever they were in prison, okay? And they were singing, they were glorifying God, they were worshiping God, even during the toughest times in their life. They were at a very low point, and yet they still decided to say, hey, we're going to honor God, we're going to serve God, we're going to sing, we're going to be content, even though we've been cast in prison wrongfully. We're still going to be content with our life right now. And that's something that's really, really hard to do. It's really easy to be content whenever we're on the high points, right? Whenever we go through really good things in our life, whenever we get an extra check, or whenever we get that Christmas bonus, or whatever it is, it's easy for us to say, hey, I'm content. I'm super happy with the things that I have. But whenever the low points come in our life, it's really easy for us to look and to say, man, I'm just not content. I really want to do this. I want to do that. I want to try to make moves in my life, and I want to try to make things better. And it's good for us to try to better ourselves. That's not what I'm saying. It's good for us to want to achieve more in our lives. I'm totally for that. But whenever we get to the point to where we're never satisfied with anything that we have, that's the point where we have to look and say, hey, why am I not content with my life? What is my life lacking that I need to find more contentment in? What do I need to try to get in my life to where I can be more content? And that thing is God. God provides contentment for us, just like I talked about this morning, okay, with joy and putting God first in our lives. Whenever we can ultimately do that, God will give us joy. He'll give us that peace. He'll let us have that peace in our lives, and that's what ultimately we're all looking for. If I said, who in here does not want peace? Nobody raised their hand, right? Because we all want to have peace in our life. We all want to have peaceful lives, but we're going to have to work for it. It's not just going to fall in our lap one day and say, oh, well, look, here's peace. It doesn't work like that. We have to work towards getting peace in our life. We have to work towards having God's peace, and we do that by finding contentment in our life. I was talking to Haley the other day, and I think maybe some of the kids, I don't remember, but we were talking about why cell phones come out every year. They come out with a new iPhone every year. Why? Because people aren't content. They say, hey, I want the latest, I want the greatest, I want the brand new iPhone, and that's why they sell probably billions of dollars worth of iPhones every year, because everyone wants the newest iPhone. Video games. They come out with a new video game almost every other year, like console, because what? People want it. People say, oh, I have the old Xbox. I want the new Xbox. Or I have the old PlayStation. I want the new PlayStation. Cars. They come out with a new car every year because people want the new thing. Nobody nowadays is content with what they have. I think I was talking to Haley about this the other day. Cars will last a long time, okay? There's no reason that they have to make new cars every year, but they do that because people want it. And people say, well, you know what? My neighbor, he just got a brand new truck. That's what I want. I'm guilty of it myself, okay? Whenever I was a little bit younger, my friends would get a brand new car, and I'm like, man, I need to go down to the dealership because I want something new too. And I've done it before. I went and got a new car because someone else got a new car. And that's not contentment. Sometimes, yeah, I hear you laughing. Sometimes we do things in our lives and we force it because we're not content. We'll make poor decisions in our lives because we're chasing other things rather than chasing what God has for us. And chasing other things in life isn't going to bring us contentment. There's things in life that'll bring us contentment that God has for us. But whenever we start chasing the wrong thing, whenever we start pursuing things that we ought not to pursue, whenever we're just doing things to better ourselves and to make ourselves look better to other people, well, that's not going to ultimately bring contentment. So many people today are committing suicide, and that's just the truth. A lot of people are committing suicide. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people are having issues like that, and a lot of the times, we're just not content. A lot of people that kill themselves is because they can never find contentment, and I understand that there are mental health issues, and I understand that that is a real thing, but a lot of times, we're seeking contentment in other things. We're seeking out to find the best things and for our lives, but it's not the right things. I was watching a documentary a while back about this rock star. And how many of y'all know who Kurt Cobain was? Okay, Kurt Cobain, he was the lead singer for Nirvana. And killed himself. Guy had lots of money. Guy was successful. But whenever I was watching the documentary, he was saying, hey, I'm just not happy. I don't have something inside of me that makes me happy. He was searching for something that made him happy. He could have bought whatever could have made him happy, right? If he could go out and buy something that would give him happiness, he said he did it. He went and paid for all these things, but he could never ultimately find true happiness in his life, and he was never content. So what I want to challenge you tonight is to look for true contentment in your life, okay? If we're never content, we're never going to be satisfied, and we're never ultimately going to be happy. If we're always just looking and saying, okay, yeah, I did good today, but what else can I do? What else can I try to grow in my life? What other achievements can I do? If we're always just chasing achievements, ultimately we're not going to be happy because, I mean, you can keep achieving things until you're dead. Or we can be content and say, hey, you know what? I see what God's doing in my life. He's working at a certain pace, and I'm going to work at his timing rather than trying to get things my way and trying to achieve things my way and make myself content. Like I said, I've done that before. I'm not a patient person, okay? I hate being patient. I hate waiting for things. And a lot of times, I'll try to make myself content rather than waiting on God. I'll say, well, you know what? This thing will make me happy if I just go buy it, so I'm going to go buy it. And then a week later, I'm like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have bought that because I'm not truly content with it. Or I'll say, you know what? I'm going to try pursuing this. And rather than seeking God's will on it, I say, well, it's just going to make me happy. And ultimately, it never made me content. So in our lives, if we seek what God has for us and we try to seek out true contentment, ultimately God's going to give it to us, okay? God's not putting us on an Easter egg hunt for contentment. He's not hiding it. He has it in the Bible. He has it there for us. He wants us to be content. But it's ultimately up to us to have, number one, the mindset and the attitude to say, hey, I'm going to be content with whatever I have. Did the Apostle Paul have it good his entire life? No, okay? He had it bad most of his life. Yet he had the mindset and the attitude to say, you know what? No matter what state I'm in, I'm going to be content. If I'm on the mountaintop, I'm going to be content with that. If I'm in the lowest point of my life, I'm going to be content. If I'm just at the middle point in my life, I'm still going to be content. That was the Apostle Paul's attitude. And that's why each and every one of us, including myself, we need to strive to have that same mindset, that same attitude to say, hey, no matter what I'm going through in life, I'm going to be content with where I'm at. Because ultimately, God knows what he's doing. God's up there watching. He doesn't miss a beat, okay? God doesn't look down and say, oh man, look, Adam's going through something I didn't know he was going to go through, and he's not content. He looks and he sees and he says, hey, Adam's going to go through this thing in his life, and let's see if he's going to be content or not. Let's see how he's going to handle the situation. And it's the same thing with each and every one of us, okay? God's not sleeping up there. He sees everything that we're going through. And he wants us to find contentment in every single area of our life, no matter what we're going through. And sometimes we're going to go through some really deep, dark times. Sometimes we're going to go through things that we don't understand. Sometimes we're going to go through struggles that don't really make sense. But God's up there, and he has contentment for us. We just have to be the ones to accept it. We have to be the ones to say, hey, Lord, you know what? I know I'm going through this right now, but I'm going to be content. And ultimately, if we can find contentment in our life, that will give us happiness, and that will give us the peace that we're looking for. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing me to be able to preach tonight, Father. Once again, I ask that you would just be with Pastor Rick, Lord, as he makes his way back from his vacation, help him to be safe. I ask, Lord, that you would just help us to all to take this message tonight, Lord, and to think about it. Help us to find true contentment in our lives, Lord, because ultimately that's what's going to bring us peace, Lord. That's what's going to make us happy, Lord, if we just find contentment in you, just like the Apostle Paul. In your name I pray, amen. That is it.